Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
It is the ATS Mix, and I am Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Dave Rabbit. And how are you doing, John?
Oh, great. Thanks. Thanks for asking. This turned out to be a wonderful skeptic overview. Would you not agree, sir?
It was probably one of the best ones he's done. He's only done three, but it was one of the best ones.
They're getting better each time. Yeah.
He's getting his groove back, how he used to be, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, before we actually talk about the overview, let's remind all our listeners and members of something new that is new and improved here at AboveTopSecret.com in the Above Politics arena. Dave, go ahead. Tell everybody what's new and improved.
Yeah, well, new and improved is the new host of a new show that begins January 2008, the Above Politics show with Dr. Mo. For those of you that don't know anything about Dr. Mo, he's a podcaster that Johnny and I both know and we're involved with is on the same site at podomatic.com. And he's just a really great guy, very intelligent, just really a hoot to listen to and be around. And his show kicks off January 1st, 2008.
But do we have to wait till then before we can hear one of Dr. Mo's shows?
No, we do not. Thank you very much. You can hear the teaser on the ATS Mix shows area. There's a teaser there. You can kind of hear Dr. Mo in action and hear what he's all about. He and I kind of go one-on-one and just kind of discuss some of the things that are upcoming in the 2008 season. But I think it's going to be a fun ride, John. This guy really is sharp. We've talked about it on and off air, and he really is. He's really going to bring an edge to the Above Politics show and the Above Politics area. And I think it's just another step towards what we all want to do with an ecosystem that is fueled by the AboveTopSecret.com network. So we've got a great show with the CEO of AboveTopSecret.com, our boss, Bill Irwin, and his weekly show on the thread topics. And boy, does he have some really, he had some really good ones. I mean, it goes everything from human global warming to a guy that wants to be a Freemason. He's not really sure. And then it gets into some other areas that are really kind of weird. You're going to have to listen to it. And then, of course, we wind up with all of our favorites about obese people having to buy two plane seats. So there's some fun involved in this show, and as always, but there's some serious conversation too. I think it's just a great show, one of Bill's best.
Oh, absolutely. And before we get into the show, I just want to offer this little helpful hint. When you go on a plane, remember to bring your own nuts.
Yeah, you don't want to have the guy next to you offering you his.
And now it's time for a different view. This is the Skeptic Overview.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another fun edition of the Skeptic Overview with our CEO of AboveTopSecret.com. I am Dave Rabbit, and my host is...
That would be me, Johnny Anonymous.
And every week we get together with the CEO of AboveTopSecret.com and the Above Network LLC and pick his brain rather than his nose and try to find out what are the hot topics here at AboveTopSecret.com. And we have him on the line. Hello, Bill.
Hello. I don't have much brain left after all the picking you guys are doing.
And I guess it would be a good disclaimer to let all the listeners and members know of AboveTopSecret.com and everywhere else that none of this is scripted.
Really?
That's right, baby.
Oh, so that stuff you sent me, I should just throw out then.
Yeah, toss that stuff out.
Yeah, forget that stuff. We're gonna go fly by the seat of our pants again.
By the way, Dave, I got to let you know that I share your pain.
Oh, you do?
I do. That episode where you had the backwards underwear.
Yeah, the Nautica.
No, I have to let you know that Hanes is now doing the same thing.
Oh, no.
They got a with the stupid boxer briefs that, you know, wives like to buy their husbands.
Yeah.
It's the it's the red tag on the outside in the front.
No, man. God, I hate that. It drives me crazy. It drove me nuts. I got them for Christmas last year, hadn't worn them, put them on, and I'm walking around literally. I was not kidding.
Same thing. Same here. Yes.
I realized.
Yep. Hello. Yes. We are the same. We are the same, you and I.
Oh, God. Thank God, Bill. Jeez, I thought I was the only one that was really ranting about that. Okay, hey, listen, before we get in the skeptical view, I got a question for you. Sure. And it's a quick reflection, but I think it will give our members some insight into really what it takes to do the above topsecret.com site. You know, I've been there 2 years, and I'm telling you, what a marvelous job you have done in 2 years to bring it to where it is today. I mean, it's a difference in day and night. I mean, it's leap years from where I first visited in 2006. You know, and I know you know you're a huge programmer and stuff, but here's the deal. How long, just give the members just a small snippet of what it takes to do the programming for that site.
Oh.
I mean, just a snippet. I mean, you know, like for instance, we changed some of the things on the main page sidebar as an example, because we had more interviewees than we had space for the ATS Mix show. So just that one little small project that, you know, we all kind of collaborated on. How long did it take you just to do that one little side panel thing?
Once I decided what I wanted to do, it was about an hour just of some testing, different formats. It was mainly just playing with how it looked rather than the programming of getting it done.
Right.
Because all I had to do was tweak around an existing query a little bit. But thankfully it's a project that grew over time and not something that somebody said, okay, we got to make this giant discussion board and we got 2 weeks to do it. It's just, although I have been in projects like that. As a matter of fact, I've been the taskmaster behind projects like that. But I gotta say, it gets daunting at times, and I believe there's mounds and mounds of code on ATS where if I had to go and hurry up and look at it today, I probably would have forgotten how I did it, and I'd take some time having to get used to it again if I had to make changes to it. There's that much code. For example, irregardless of all of the code that it takes to display the post and accept posts from members and log in and all that crap, there's over 100 individual pieces of code in individual files that manufacture on a scheduled basis all of the static content that's throughout the website. If you go to the homepage, well, that's static. It's not dynamic. It's not generated every time you hit it. And then all those form overview pages, and then all those little modules of stuff that doesn't change very often all over the website,
right,
are generated by other pieces of code and brought into those pages when somebody visits them. So yeah, there's more than 100 of those, and then you got to multiply that times 3, because most of that stuff is unique between above top secret, below top secret, and above politics. So right. It snowballs from there.
Wow. All right, well, let's get into your show, and thank you for doing that, because, I mean, you know, we get a lot of email UTUs where people say, well, gee, you know, they act like you just throw it up there, and I just want to let everybody know it's a hell of a lot more work than just throwing something up there. So
right, plus, if I throw something up that doesn't work, everything goes down, so you got to be careful.
Let's get into the show. Skeptic overview. Go ahead. First
one. Right. Well, I picked two threads that became really popular this week. I think both are in the top five of the hottest threads as I looked at what was going on. But I picked these two because they are very similar, and you'll see why after I talk about the second one, even if they're on two really different topics in two very different forums. The first one is titled, "The New Study Explodes, Human Global Warming Story." It's a news article posted by Trader on Wall Street, and he's got that abbreviated, Trader on Wall ST.
Right.
Is his name, and it inspired a massive 21-page discussion, more than 420 replies, I should say now, and is from Newsmax. And the snippet he posted reads, "As much of the U.S. is being blasted by vicious ice storms, a blockbuster report published in a prestigious scientific journal insists that the evidence shows that climate warming is both natural and unstoppable, and that carbon dioxide is not a pollutant. Writing in the International Journal of Climatology of the Royal Meteorological Society, Professor David H. Douglas," and he goes on to go into the stuff from the story, but that it was interesting, though, that the first opening sentence of the article, I thought, revealed some credibility issues, because, as you're aware, I'm sure, most of the people that look into this issue of global climate warming are aware that the climate warming can cause these freak storms in the Northern Hemisphere. So that is an issue. But Trader on Wall Street's follow-up comments are, well, I'm sure you will all undoubtedly challenge the findings because they are not sanctioned by the UN like the IPCC. And then, brilliant, I love it. Finally, an organization not afraid to tell the truth. And, okay, so it gets better. Nuclear Paul immediately follows. I've got a Nuclear Paul. It's a good name.
I love it.
A funny feeling. Global warming was invented to serve someone's agenda. Sure, the world is going through changes, but I seriously doubt we will ever be told the truth by our politicians. Then, soon after that, boy, this guy's name. It's all one word. Last out, finite voice, eternal.
Great name.
Yes. He responds, if the Earth is considered a closed system, which it is not, then I'd have to agree that CO2 emissions have no effect on the surrounding environment. Unfortunately, they do, and I'd like to see it cleaned up so that I can breathe better. Or are we going to rely on the evolution of more efficient lungs that readily adapt to CO2? I mean, in all seriousness, natural selection, right? And he goes on, and we have what follows, another interesting exchange that I thought was rather funny. It was like a bing, bang, boom, you know, a left-right jab in a boxing match. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
Between Jimbo 999 and APC is still on the first page of this.
Right. I'm watching
it. Jimbo 999 states, and 10 other climactic scientists are, of course, completely confused about the cause of global warming. That was the left jab. And the right cross for APC replies, and 100-fold used to be completely confused about the Earth being flat. I wonder how much their respective governments pay them to come up with reasons for more government taxes. What I liked about this thread is it appears to contain an amazing treasure trove of the most current information from a variety of sources on the issue of global climate change. You know, if you get past the sparring, which a lot of it is actually very good and entertaining, like we saw.
Right.
But to me, the most interesting thing about this thread is the obvious three-way split in thinking that we're seeing. We have on one side the traditionally conservative, read U.S. Republican, members make every effort to not just debunk human involvement in climate change, and at times they're saying they even deny climate change completely.
Right.
And then we have the traditionally liberal, read U.S. Democrat, members make every effort to almost religiously prove human involvement in climate change, denying all available evidence of natural cycles or causes. And then the precious few neutral members and from what I've seen, most often they tend not to be from the U.S., attempt to stay out of the political debate and divide on this and focus on what to me is a more credible angle of this issue, is that the natural cycles are made somewhat worse by human interference.
Yeah.
And no matter where your stance is on this issue, this is perhaps our single best informative thread on the issues of climate change, both so that you can see not only these three sides engage each other in debate from all these vantage points. It's an amazing single-source destination to learn everything you need to know about the most current information on this topic. It's just been jam-packed into this one, getting close to, actually, now we're at almost 430 replies, this big thread. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, and it'll jump even further once we put the shortcut up on this show and other people get there. So, yeah, cool.
And they'll be saying, what a nut I am, and they'll be trying to decipher my comments as to determine is he a liberal?
Before we jump off this, Bill, I just got one question. I mean, you know, we read these things that the members say and whatever, and I mean, I think our members are not only intelligent, but they have a really subliminal humor to a lot of things that they post, and that's the things I really love about it. But I mean, you know, the bottom line here really is that I don't care what these scientists say, and agree or not agree. John, jump in with your two cents too, please. Is, you know, there's no ironclad evidence. I mean, you can sit there and run experiments in a lab all day long, but there's no way in the world you're going to prove unequivocally what is causing global warming. Do you think or not?
Please let me jump in here.
See, I love sucking y'all in. Go ahead.
Well, global warming is kind of a pet peeve of mine because I kind of stand on the fence on it. I can see both pros and cons on both sides of the fence here. These are some realities, though. 2007 has been touted as, in recorded history, the warmest year ever. All right. Even if this is a natural occurrence with the Earth, and the Earth would get warmer regardless if us humans populated it or not, I still think it's stupid for us to just sit back and say, oh, well, I can't do anything to stop it, so why even try? You know, that's kind of a fatalist response, in my opinion. I think we should still try to do whatever we can individually to maybe slow down the process. I mean, oh my God, whether it's take a grocery bag with you to the grocery store to put your own groceries in, or removing the incandescent bulbs with a more efficient, long-lasting, less power-consuming one, or unplugging appliances and electronics that are still plugged in that haven't been used for months, weeks, and years. You know, there are all sorts of things that we could be doing to help slow the process, because I don't care what they say, that global warming is an agenda or whatnot. Guess what? The Earth is still warming, and it's globally. So global warming is actually a pretty damn good name for it, because whether people want to believe it or not, we live in almost like an aquarium. It's a huge fish tank. And what do you think those pollutants go? They're staying right here, folks. They ain't going out in space. All right, that's my two cents. I just wanted to throw that in because
I have a somewhat similar view, and it's I'll say it in much fewer words.
Hey, yeah. I rarely go off on a rant. Come on, give me my due.
I'm bowing to Bill.
I think it's really simple. We've known for decades that we're pumping too much crap into the environment that we shouldn't be. And
amen.
If it doesn't matter if global warming ends up being the reason for us to stop, or tree frogs stop the farting, we should stop.
That's right.
And really, it's that simple. Now, if global warming is the cause that gets people to realize, well, we got to stop pumping this crap out there, good. Really, we should stop. And if it's causing global warming or not, or making it worse, we'll find out when we stop, won't we?
Yeah. All right. I agree. All right. Move on to your next one, which I think is really a neat one. I like it.
Yeah, I do too. And it's you'll see why it's similar, why I said they're similar. ATS member The Oak, a relatively new member having joined just 3 months ago, posted an interesting thread in, of course, the Secret Society's forum titled "New Freemason Having Some Doubts." And there was a pile on.
Yeah, boy, was there.
I guess.
And in a relatively short time, it's up to 140 replies. And he opens up, and I'm going to read most of his opening post because it really does set the stage for pile on. At my first lodge meeting I attended, they had elections, and there was a lot of bickering and tensions because no one wanted any of the positions. They practically had to beg people to take a position since there were so few members actually there, it was made even harder. I just sat there and wondered if this is a fraternity and is so great, why is no one willing to take a position of leadership? After the election business was sorted out, then they proceeded to bicker about a date for a potential brother to take his first degree. The senior warden stated he couldn't do it on the 21st because he would be celebrating. Someone said it was a holiday, and the senior warden said it was no holiday of his, but can you bet he would celebrate? And everyone laughed. I was lost about what was so funny until the junior warden explained to me it was Martin Luther King Day. He would be celebrating his murder. So there you go. Geez. And many members thought this was funny, but I got very upset and almost got up and left. I felt like I had joined the Klan instead of the Masons. Oh, God. And the pile-on just goes crazy from there. He closes. Anyway, I just wanted to some advice as to what you guys think I should do about this. I joined to become a better man and gain knowledge, not to associate with racists. Now, I bring this thread up and looking for your feedback on this a little bit more than what I have to say, because it eventually highlights the tension that exists between ATS members that are Masons and members who see all Masons as potentially evil participants in the New World Order. Mm-hmm. The back-and-forth conflict in this thread between Masons and conspiracists is fascinating and well worth the read, because just like the very first thread we covered about the global warming, it's an excellent and compact synopsis of that very tension. Every angle used by Freemason members to defend their organization appears in this thread, as does nearly every angle of attack used by those who despise the Masons. And there's perhaps a few exchanges that are a little bit too intense, but the best part of this thread is it does serve as an excellent primer for those who want to get a feel as to the nature of the conflict and the tension between these two sides. Right. What did you guys think?
John, go ahead.
Okay, well, first, let me take a quick little personal poll here. Are any of us here Masons?
No.
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 Okay.
That our, dog may be a Mason.
That dog is a damn Mason, isn't it?
I can tell that. Yes.
Reincarnated.
All right. Here's my next question. I have to be truthful here and say that I didn't get a chance to read every page that was on this, so please correct me if I'm wrong. Are there any people of color that are Masons?
I don't know. I don't know.
See, I don't know that either.
I haven't seen any. I'm sure there are somewhere.
You know,
you would think so.
I'm going to just throw this in. Now, if I'm wrong, then everybody's going to pounce on Dave. But, you know, I give a rat's buttocks about that.
That's why we love you, Dave.
Okay, here we go. My opinion is, you said, Bill, that you thought there were African-Americans in the Masons? What makes you believe that?
I don't know for sure, but having come from New York City and seeing a couple of the halls near our apartment, I didn't pay attention. But I do think in the groups congregating outside, there was a relatively decent representation, more than you'd expect. But again, I that's only...
You saw photographs in their hall?
No, I walked by. Well, I happened to walk by a couple of times.
What made you think that they had black people in the Masons?
They were coming out of the building.
Oh, sorry. No, I'm not going to go where I was going to go with this. Okay.
But no, again, there could have been some other function because a lot of times they do rent out the halls for community groups. Okay. So I don't know if it was actually one of their meetings.
All right. Well,
in my last trip to Harlem, I didn't see any Scottish Rite temples there.
Now, I'm not trying to be funny about this. You know, this really kind of is a serious subject, and obviously 13 pages of post proves that people are very passionate about this. But all kidding aside, I would love if someone has factual knowledge in this show thread to please come in and post and tell us unequivocally yes or no that there are African-American members in the Masonic Lodge scenario.
How about the percentages of any ethnic?
Asians. Yeah. Yes, there you go, John. Great idea. You know, can someone physically come in? I mean, we're not going to ask for you to put up a JPEG of a photograph of the guy standing there with second-degree Mason robe or whatever, you know. But, I mean, does anybody physically know? And I'm not talking about the trolls that's going to sit there and post crap just to see everybody, you know, pile on each other. But I'm talking about legitimate knowledge of someone of any ethnic origin other than the typical white American whatever that's in the Masonic Lodge. I'd like to know that.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know.
All right, well, we beat this puppy.
So the lob ball for discussion is an interesting thread.
I love this.
And, this is from Carl, just his username, and a story posted from the Sydney Morning Herald titled, "Obese Should Buy 2 Plane Seats, Says Australia Survey." And this probably should have been moved to the below top secret breaking news forum, but an interesting discussion did ultimately ensue. And the snippet from the story reads, almost two-thirds of the 2,810 respondents, 63% that is, believed obese people should be charged for an additional seat, answering that they did not want to share the seat they had paid for. And it's an interesting point, and something that's getting bigger as Americans are getting bigger, no pun intended.
Right.
But for anyone who's seen me, I'm a big guy, 6'1", 230 pounds, but not so big that I spill over the armrests in the coach seat. Like I'm sure we've seen some people trying to squeeze into their seat and settle in and spill over into their neighbors, especially if they're in the middle seat, then it's just pure
hell. Oh, God, I've been there. Oh, gee.
So, and it does tend to make sense, or at least perhaps if they are over a certain girth, should be guided to the first class section where the seats are wider. What did you guys? What is the opinion of the ATS mixed boys on this particular thread?
Oh boy! Well, I'll go first since Dave. That'll save you from asking me to do so.
Thanks, John. I appreciate that. That'll save the embarrassment.
I, too, am one of those. I weigh 235. I'm 6'1", and so I'm in the same position here. I don't know who it was that came up with the idea of designing airplane seats. But I'm sure, just as we have talked about in the past of conspiracy-filled subjects of there being smoky-filled rooms, I'm sure that there was the same type of deal that happened when they go, you know, if we make these seats just a little bit smaller, we'll be able to squeeze one more seat per row, and that's just another paying customer.
Right.
And I'm sure that that's what they had in mind. Now, who was it that they got to model what the correct size for these seats should be? And then they probably came up with, you know, if we take another inch and a half off each armrest, that's going to give us just a little bit more room. We can almost squeeze another seat in there. Some of the members here posted some great stuff. I love the one guy, I think it was APC, yes, who said, you know, perhaps they should switch to a cubic foot rate.
Awesome.
I thought that was classic. And then he follows it up. He says, because that way we can make up for the displaced air, the weight imbalance on the plane, especially if Shamu gets a window seat. God help us if there's one with near the emergency exit, not to mention the extra fuel that'll be needed to propel their Mac blubber butt. Now, although he was obviously having a little bit of fun when APC wrote this post, he or she makes a kind of a valid point. I'm sure that here again, in behind these closed doors, they probably thought about that. You know, we could probably take care of all this if we just charged by the pound. Let's just charge by the pound. Which isn't a bad idea, I guess, because then it would be more of a fair share. The problem you'd have there would be that, talking about this displacement on the plane, that along with your ticket information, they would also have to have your weight now on the the ticket, so that the airline would know exactly what this weight displacement would be. And of course, this would then mean that, you know, wives, husbands, children's friends, they wouldn't be able to sit with one another, because Lord knows that if you have the whole heifer family sitting on the right side, that plane's going to be a little bit lopsided. So we've got to displace them all over the place. So I see pros and cons in all of this, but it's definitely something to ponder about. Go ahead, Dave.
All right. Well, you know, I mean, you make a lot of valid points, Johnny, no question about it. And you know, I love the thing, as we've said this before, but the thing I love about the AboveTopSecret.com members is there's always somebody that really puts the nail on the head. And to me, and it's on page one, Dead Flag Blues, who really always comes up with some really interesting things, tells a personal story about being on a plane or whatever, and, you know, and about this guy that sits next to her, and she's got, you know, it's one of those things where the family's not on the same, not sitting together with the Shamu family, Johnny. And and so she's concerned about what's going on. There's an air turbulence or whatever, and she wants to get up, but she's pinned in with this guy that weighs about 300 plus, and his flab blubber is hanging over her arm
love
on
handles.
The armrest, you know, and she can't even get up, you know. And I mean, here's the thing, you know, and I am not, and believe me, none of the three of us are making fun of obese people. We're not, because I understand, I've seen enough Dr. Phil's to understand that there's a lot of things that go into why someone is overweight or obese. That said, I think that when it gets to a point that you go over the line, would be a nice way to put it, go over the line and into someone else's space, whether it be on an aircraft, whether it be on a train, whether it be on a whatever.
Space they've paid for.
That's right. That they have paid for, then I think something has to be done. If that means that that person who is a fourth over into the seat next to them inconveniences that person who has equally paid for that seat, then yes, I think they ought to buy two seats. Sorry. You know, I mean, I totally respect people's rights to do whatever they need to do or however they want to live their life, but when it interferes with somebody else, that's where I draw the line, okay? And that's my take on it.
How about this? As you're purchasing your ticket, they have a sample seat that's there, all right?
And then I love that idea.
Hang on. And they make you sit down in it. Right. And now if some of your love handles fold over the armrest onto the other side, they measure how much that is, and then they reduce the cost for the adjoining passenger seat to whoever has that.
I love that idea. We'll call it the Chubb-O-Matic chair.
The Chubb-O-Matic.
You sit down, and however much of your chunk is over the next guy's seat, his fare is reduced by that amount. I love that, John. What a great idea.
And then the other guy obviously would have to pay a little bit more to cover.
And please you to you, Johnny, with what you feel about his thoughts on that.
And please you to you, David, for his Chunk-O-Matic comment.
Now,
and please you to you, Bill, because he's the one that brought the thread up. Thanks, Bill. We're all going to hell.
Why not? I mean, this seemed like, you know, it's snowing. You needed something to lighten things up with here.
That'll go like a turd in a punch bowl. Go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Well, you can say that. Jesus. It's in the dictionary. Jesus, it's MCC compliant.
There is something far more gross than that.
Lord, tell me.
And it exists in our podcast feed. And that's one of the reasons that caught my attention about this thread is I have a horrific airplane story that I've related in one of my early podcasts.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Well, you're going to have to go find it.
Is this going to be one of those treasure hunt things where you're going to get points if they find it?
I'll send you guys the link. It's a relatively long story. It's not something I can relate in even 2 minutes. Essentially, what it is it's a clash of cultures issue on an airplane right next to me.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Now, before we finish up here, I just got one question. And this dates us all. But remember when you could smoke on the plane?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, and there was none of this smoking section, you know, that they kind of eased everything out. When I quit smoking, one of the things that drove me absolutely nuts is that I would always get a seat that's right there where my back of my headrest is, that little sign that says smoking area. And I'm thinking, what the hell difference does it make? You know, because you can smell the smoke all over the aircraft. It drove me crazy.
Right. It's a sealed environment. So you're going to, you know, somebody sneezes in row 7, you're going to get the germs back in row 20.
That's right.
Especially if they're Orca the killer whale.
Right.
I can't wait to read your little story that you had with your...
It's a podcast, so you can listen to it.
Give us a shortcut so we can put it on this thread?
He said he was.
I would rather have people go find it. Just to give you a heads up, I have told this story to friends and colleagues at work, and 1 out of 3 people throw up.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, you're talking about the barf bag story. Oh, God.
No barf bag involved.
Oh.
Well, all right. Well, I can't wait to hear this then. I want to add just one little bit here on, since we're still talking about seats and whatnot. I had the fortunate luck of being able to do work in other parts of the world. And if this story about having flubber coming over your seat, invading your space, so to speak, is something that really gets you and gets you just fuming mad, try flying on some airlines that are by other international countries. I have flown with chickens flying over my head. I have flown in airlines where what we called pulgas, which is Spanish for the word fleas, were literally jumping off the ruana or poncho of my next seat passenger. I could literally watch them jumping off him onto me.
All of that sounds a lot better than what I went through.
Oh, well, man, I'm really looking forward to this then. I was also on one plane where, since we were the only gringos, the only Americanos that were on the flight, the gentlemen that were in the seats behind us were quite enamored with my mother and also my aunt, who was also doing missionary work with us. And they proceeded to exercise their personal right to pleasure back behind us. And we could hear that.
Was this a night flight or a day flight?
This was a day flight.
Really?
Yeah. You see, when you're wearing a poncho or a ruana, as they called it in the South American areas, is pretty much a blanket with a hole cut in the middle. And then that was I'm not lying. And then you throw that over your head, and that's how you kept yourself warm. That was their version of a coat.
Thank God for explanations. Right.
So now that is able, obviously, to cover a large region of your body. And although it was covering it, when you turned around and looked, and you could see this motion going up and down underneath the ruana or poncho, even a young teenager as myself didn't have to imagine too much as to what was going on. And the looks on their faces, too. That probably was
What was the name of that airline?
I'm not going to do
it. Wasn't Virgin, was it?
Oh, but I'm Bob. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Irvin. Bill Irvin. He'll be here all week. All week.
All right. Well,
guys,
I guess that's it. The big skeptic overlord has to take his blubber outside and start shoveling snow.
Yep.
So anyway, that wraps up another Skeptic Overview show. Hope everybody had a good time. I know we did. And on behalf of the Above Network LLC, AboveTopSecret.com, I am Dave Rabbit.
I'm Johnny Anonymous.
And I'm Bill.
And that's it for this edition of the ATS Mix.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network LLC or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.